Page 24, Section 2, Shaping American Government. As you read, look for reasons for writing the United States Constitution. A description of the men who wrote the United States Constitution. The compromises that were made at the Constitutional Convention. The process of ratifying the United States Constitution. Terms: unicameral, infrastructure, proportional representation, bicameral, electoral college, ratify, amend. After the American Revolution, our founders wanted to make sure that the new government would be very different from the government of Great Britain. Our first Constitution. The Articles of Confederation, adopted in 1781, intentionally established a weak national government. The new United States government consisted of a unicameral, one-house legislature in which each state had one vote. There was no chief executive or national court system. Congress, the lawmaking body, did not have the power to raise money by taxation. It could ask only the states to provide money. They did not have to. To pass a law, 9 of the 13 states had to approve it. The weaknesses in the Articles of Confederation caused major problems for the new country. Under the Articles, the Confederation Congress, that could not pay the colonial soldiers during the Revolutionary War, found that it also could not pay them after the war. As a result, some soldiers threatened to revolt. Hoping to find an answer to the problem, the Confederation Congress asked the states for help, but many states simply rejected or ignored the request. The new government did not have the power to regulate trade between the states or between the United States and foreign countries. Each state had its own money system, which also created problems with trade. The British reoccupied some of the forts in the Northwest Territory, the area north of the Ohio River, and the Articles government was powerless to do anything to stop them. As a result, foreign countries had little respect for the new country. George Washington and others were alarmed at what they saw happening to the states under the Articles of Confederation. Some openly called for a change. Others boldly called for a return to a monarchy. To address the growing concerns, a movement began to examine and revise the Articles of Confederation. In 1786, Virginia asked for a meeting in Annapolis, Maryland, to discuss the continuing trade problems among the states. 9 of the 13 states agreed to send delegates to the meeting, but representatives from only 4 states were present when the meeting began. Because of the low attendance, nothing was accomplished. The delegates at Annapolis did ask that a second convention meet in Philadelphia the next year. Instead of focusing only on trade problems, the delegates asked to discuss all the problems of the Articles of Confederation. They hoped that some changes could be made to make the national government stronger. The Constitutional Convention. In May 1787, delegates began to arrive at Philadelphia's present-day Independence Hall. 70 delegates had been named by their state legislatures, but only 55 actually attended. Rhode Island, which opposed a stronger national government, did not send any delegates. George Washington, who attended as one of Virginia's representatives, was elected to preside over the meeting. A number of well-known figures from the American Revolution, including Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, John Adams, John Hancock, and Patrick Henry, did not attend the convention. Only 8 people who had signed the Declaration of Independence served as delegates. By the time the convention ended, only 39 delegates were still there to sign the document that became the United States Constitution. The delegates had experienced firsthand the problems of the weak national government under the Articles of Confederation. No one state was strong enough to fend for itself against a foreign foe. Nor could a single state build the infrastructure, roads, bridges, ports, to increase travel and trade throughout the nation. However, a group of United States working together could accomplish these goals. Whatever their own agendas, the delegates put personal feelings aside and worked together to create an endurable form of government for all people, a government that has guided the United States for over 200 years. Organizing the government. When the convention began, the delegates discussed their ideas on how the government should be organized. They wanted to make it strong enough to handle the nation's needs, but they also wanted to be certain it did not abuse its power. There were two plans submitted to the delegates for their consideration. The Virginia plan called for a strong national government. Under this plan, drafted by James Madison, the national government would have the power to collect taxes, make laws, and enforce the laws in its own courts. The legislative branch would have the power to make laws, strike down state laws that violated national laws, mobilize the armed forces, and elect people to serve in the executive and judicial branches. The plan also called for representation in Congress based on population, an idea known as proportional representation. This idea would give the larger states a bigger voice in the government. The smaller states objected. William Patterson, a delegate from New Jersey, proposed the New Jersey plan to protect the interest of the small states. It called for each state to have the same number of representatives in Congress. The smaller states feared that if the larger states had more votes, they would control the national government and thus be able to pass laws for their own special interest. The New Jersey plan, although it contained suggestions for solving some weaknesses, would have continued the government as it had been under the Articles of Confederation. The Great Compromise. The convention seemed deadlocked. The small states continued to support equal representation, while the large states supported proportional representation. The delegates established a committee made up of one representative from each state to work out a compromise. The result was the Great Compromise, or as it is sometimes called, the Connecticut Compromise. The compromise called for a bicameral two-house Congress. One house, the House of Representatives, would be based on proportional representation. The second house, the Senate, would have equal representation. It also provided that all taxation and government spending bills would originate in the House, but those bills would have to be approved by the Senate. After a bitter debate, the delegates passed the Connecticut Compromise by a single vote. Compromise on slavery. Slaves were a large percentage of the populations of the southern states. As a result, there was considerable debate over whether to include slaves in a state's population to determine representation in the House of Representatives. Many northern states did not want to count slaves at all because that would give the southern states control of the House of Representatives. Delegate James Wilson from Pennsylvania proposed the Three-Fifths Compromise. This proposal stated that the total number of free persons would be counted, but only three-fifths of all other persons, slaves, would be counted for purposes of determining representation in the House of Representatives. After considerable debate, the compromise was approved. Compromise on the presidency. The last major compromise of the Constitutional Convention involved the issue of who should elect the president, the citizens or the Congress. The solution was the creation of an electoral college. Each state's legislature was allowed to select as many electors as it had members of Congress, House and Senate. These electors would be allowed to vote for two people. The person who received the highest number of votes, provided it was a majority of the votes cast, would be named president. The person who received the second highest number of votes would be named vice president. If no one received a majority of electoral votes, the House of Representatives selected the president. In the House, each state had one vote, and a candidate had to receive a majority of those votes to win. Ratification. The new United States Constitution was approved by the delegates at the convention on September 17, 1787. Then, on September 28, 1787, the new Constitution was sent to the states to be ratified, approved. Ratification was not an easy task. People who supported the strong national government established in the new Constitution called themselves Federalists. Those who opposed a strong central government were called Anti-Federalists. The Anti-Federalists believed that the national government should not have too much power. They wanted the major powers left to state governments. They also insisted that citizens' individual rights be specifically protected in the new Constitution. To gain their support, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution were proposed in 1789 and approved in 1791. These amendments are called the Bill of Rights. 9 states had to ratify the document before it could become the official Constitution. Delaware was the first state to ratify this Constitution on December 7, 1787. On June 21, 1788, New Hampshire became the 9th state to approve it. 4 days after New Hampshire's ratification, on June 25, 1788, Virginia became the 10th state to ratify the document by a vote of 89-79. It took 2.5 years for all 13 states to ratify the document. Amending the Constitution. The United States Constitution is a very brief document. It contains about 1,800 words, and it has been amended, changed, or added to only 27 times since it was first adopted over 200 years ago. The Constitution has endured for a number of reasons. First and foremost, our forefathers wrote in a very specific and general style. Had they tried to be too specific, the document would have been much longer and could not have withstood the changes our nation has undergone since the late 1700s. Because it is so general, future generations of Americans were able to interpret this document. Secondly, our forefathers planned for a way to amend the Constitution. An amendment may be proposed by a 2/3 vote in both houses of Congress or by a national constitutional convention called for by 2/3 of the state legislatures. Once an amendment is proposed, it is sent to the states to be ratified. A proposed amendment must be approved by 3/4, currently 38, of the state legislatures. All of the amendments to our Constitution except one have originated in Congress and have been approved by 3/4 of the states. That one amendment that did not originate in Congress was the 21st Amendment, which repealed the 18th Amendment on Prohibition. Reviewing the section. Reviewing the content. 1. What weaknesses of the Articles of Confederation were changed in the U.S. Constitution? 2. Who were the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist? 3. What were the major debates that resulted in compromises at the Constitutional Convention? Using the content. 1. Pretend you were a delegate to the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. Write a speech that you might have given in support of the Virginia Plan or the New Jersey Plan. 2. Write a letter to one of the delegates to the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. Discuss a modern issue that the Founding Fathers might have addressed when writing our Constitution. Extending the literacy skill. Look at the photograph on page 26 and answer the following questions. 1. What is depicted in the photo? 2. Where was the photo taken? 3. What is the focal point of the photo? 4. Why is there a statue of George Washington in front of the building? Focus on culture. West Virginia's immigrants. When people describe the demographics of West Virginia, They often say the state lacks cultural diversity. Census data seems to support that assessment. According to estimated 2017 data, West Virginia is 93% white, 3% black, 1% Hispanic, and less than 1% Native American, Asian, and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander. The problem with this assessment, however, is that the data is based on race, not culture. To clarify, the words race and culture are sometimes used incorrectly. Race is based on acquired genes and physical characteristics. Culture, on the other hand, is based on beliefs, values, traditions, and customs. A person cannot change his race, but he can change his culture. West Virginia is actually culturally diverse. Unless your ancestors were Native American, your family came here from somewhere else. West Virginia's immigration history begins with the earliest explorers from England and France. While these explorers did not settle in the area, they did make maps and claimed land where those who came later would settle. Nearly 100 years after the first explorers came to Western Virginia, a group of Germans settled in the Shenandoah Valley. Settlers from Germany named their first settlement in West Virginia Mecklenburg, after their region in Germany. Today, Mecklenburg is Shepherdstown. Germans came in large numbers before the American Revolution and again in the mid-1800s. So many Germans lived in the Greenbrier and Ohio valleys that sermons were delivered in both English and German. Two newspapers in Wheeling were printed in German. Many people of German descent were found in Marshall, Lewis, Ohio, and Wood counties. The Germans were followed by the Scots-Irish, who went farther west into the Greenbrier Valley. The Scots-Irish were really Scots who had lived in an area of Northern Ireland for nearly 100 years. They left Northern Ireland to avoid the religious wars between Catholics and Protestants. After the Civil War, a number of blacks came to West Virginia. Then, the early 1900s saw very different groups of immigrants come to West Virginia to work in the coal, timber, and glass industries. Workers came from Poland, Italy, Serbia, Turkey, Hungary, and Russia. Many of the Poles settled in Marion and Fayette counties. Eventually, elements of these foreign cultures, language, religion, music, celebrations, food, became mixed with cultural elements of their adopted homeland. Today, various fairs and festivals keep the culture of our forefathers alive, while others celebrate the blended cultures that were created.